I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of Supercoach Edge and, of course, the second edition of Damo's Team Talk. And we'll delve into my team and how it's fared coming out of round two, which, spoiler alert, was pretty good. But before we do that, just want to flick across to our YouTube here and just a reminder, just virtually a plea more than anything, but if you are watching us and you haven't yet subscribed and whatnot, if you can, that'd be absolutely fantastic because we're just having a look at the stats here and the number of viewership, 70.9% of people that have watched our content in the last 28 days are not subscribed. So if you are new to our channel, we would absolutely love a thumbs up, give us a like, give us a sub, and we will be ever so grateful for your patronage. So ladies and gents, let's jump across to our team and how we fared. So we ended up scoring at 2,073, which was pretty good considering, of course, it was our first best 18 week. And as you can see there, in terms of my rank, climb the ranks, did I ever. Went up 20,173 spots to now sit inside the top 10K, ranked 9,678 overall out of 169,355 teams. So at this point of the season, to be ranked inside the top 10 is actually much better than what I was last year. I'll show in a moment as to where I was sitting, but it was much, much lower compared to what this is. So we're on track and we're doing quite well. So to make up that number of ranks in 1 week is super, super impressive. And I am very, very happy off the back of that. So without further ado, ladies and gents, let's have a look at my team and how it fared individually. And as you can see here, ended up winning all 12 of my league matchups, which was, again, a bit of a surprise, but a nice surprise as well. So it does, I guess, reaffirm to me that it was a fairly good week in comparison to the majority. So that is that. But as I said, I'll show you last year how it was tracking from the start of the season. So as you can see there, a big, big jump in the first two rounds for 2024. But 2023... Geez, it was tough going. So I actually didn't crack the top 10K until round 7. So what's that? 5 rounds ahead of schedule at the moment. So looking really, really good. And yeah, it was a slow start to last year, as I said, 75K overall into 47, into 36, into 32, into 23, into 14, and then into 6. So at this pace, and keeping in mind as well, last year I ended up finishing just inside the top 1K at 981st overall. It does mean that we are in the hunt, thankfully. So I am very happy thus far. So let's have a look at our team, how we fared. We'll just quickly go over it. Tom Stewart, I think he ended up breaking the record for most intercept marks or something. It was absolutely ridiculous. Great game by him. Good old Tomcat, 134. Nicky Dacos, he was my vice captain, although I must say I was kind of up in the air about whether or not I'd do it. I did sort of buy into the whole notion that it was his 50th game. Thought he might have had an absolute stellar one, and I followed the crowd, which is not really what I like to do. So was worried about missing out on a big score here with a vice captain first up. Got roped in and only delivered a 54, which was very unlike him. He didn't really get tagged, I guess, solidly. Win Hager ran with him, as expected, at various stages. But just his game overall, he just looked like he was off, really. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. He's highly owned, 79% of the competition, whatever it is, ridiculous. So he impacts pretty much the entire competition. So keeping that in mind, don't stress. It is what it is. Harry Sheasel, 113. Again, going from strength to strength and really, I guess, reaffirming to me the reasons why I selected him. He's going to be a top six scoring defender. So if you don't have him, try and find a way to get him into your team, because he's going to be just a, you know, an absolute workhorse from week to week, busting out, which at the moment he's averaging 121.5, which I don't think is sustainable, but I can see him average him anywhere between 105 to 115. So, yeah, he's just playing that absolutely stellar role off halfback and, yeah, doing it to great effect. Then we have Hayden Young, who, again, 62. The big thing with Hayden Young is, again, even though his role is fantastic, and I know we put a whole lot of emphasis on a player's role as to whether or not they are sustainable, if they're, you know, selectable in your team, and if they are, you know, someone that you can really hold in your team and ride the bumps. But this time, I guess, we're not riding the bumps with any grin for Hayden Young, because he, I think his total is 11 clangers overall, I think, across the first 2 weeks of the season. So not good at all. Is getting his hands on the ball, probably not as much as what I was expecting him to. Like 24 disposals in round one, round two, only the 21. And yeah, freeze against, turning of the ball over, all that sort of stuff. So it's not really boding well for his output. And yeah, I'll delve into him a little bit more when I'm chatting about trades. But yeah, he's been a big, big disappointment, because he was someone that we'd highlighted as, you know, someone that's going to take the next step in their game and potentially, you know, solidify themselves as a, you know, a value option, but also a definitive top six scoring or averaging defender in 2024. So is what it is. But as I said, I'll delve into him in a little moment when I'm chatting about trades. Next up, we have D'Ambrosio, who I ended up bringing in a week early, and it paid off because the reason why that is, I'll just get into that very, very briefly, is I know, you know, the rule is to virtually, you know, get two looks at a player when you can before price rises, just to sort of get a two-game sample size to, you know, I guess, you know, solidify in your mind that he is a decent pick, which I'm very conscious, and I kind of learned this last year as well, and probably the year prior to that, because in 2022, I held my trades by and large and held out and went down that route of you know, getting a couple of, you know, two-game sample size on specific players before I brought them in, before price changes. And in doing that, it meant that I found when it came to, you know, on the cusp of round three, which is, you know, where we are now, in round two, there were more than three players or three trades that I was looking to make. And I had that in the back of my mind last weekend. And I just knew that, you know, in all likelihood, someone's going to get injured, as what we've seen, you know, thus far, which would force my hand with a trade. Or there's going to be other guys popping their hands up as potential trade-in options, which we have seen with the likes of Powell from North Melbourne, who, you know, we haven't really bargained for, we haven't really spoken about in the preseason. So I knew this was bound to happen just off last year and the year prior as well. Again, always saying that we're learning and adapting with Supercoach, and that is sort of one part of my game that I have adapted in terms of, you know, having to take a virtual risk on, you know, one of these players, bringing them in off one game in, you know, off round one going into round two. So that was part of the reason with that, and it's going to be work out well, because there are, you know, three players now that I want to bring in, and if I held off and, you know, was bringing in D'Ambrosio now, heading into round three, it means that I would have had to have sacrificed one of the, you know, four players that I'm looking to bring in, or in this case, three players, because I've already got D'Ambrosio. So that's part of that reasoning. And he did really, really well, 87. Again, I think he's playing more of a wing role as opposed to that, you know, genuine halfback running defender role, which, you know, I was kind of worried about in the preseason, and part of the reason why I didn't opt to select him, and I thought Amon might kind of, they might negate each other in a sense, but they're kind of complementing each other because D'Ambrosio is playing higher up the ground, more as a wing role, and they're using him at every opportunity just because he's really good with his foot skills. So 87 in his first game for me, and he goes into round three with a break-even of negative 82, which I think is the lowest break-even of any player heading into round three. So already in 40% of teams, and if you don't have him, get him in, because just scrolling down here, if you can see this, his projections on Supercoach Plus, if he scores a 59, which, you know, should score well more than that considering what he's been scoring thus far, they have him going up 64.6k with a negative 82 break-even, and then next week having a break-even of 18 and then going up another close to 20k. But I mean, he's going to score more than 59 more often than not, you'd think, considering the form he's in. So probably will go up closer to, you know, 75k, 80k potentially, and then go up potentially another, you know, 25, 30k next week as well, with a lower break even than 18 if he scores, you know, better than 59. So again, probably just from the top, I will mention this. Get him in if you haven't got him. Prioritize him because he is going to be one of the best cash cows for us in the early part of the season. Speaking of cash cows, also Blake Howes went up 70.2k, obviously playing the round zero game, so was on the bubble last week heading into round two, and he's going to make us a nice bit of cash. He's going to go up another 36.8k, projected with a score of 58, and then potentially another 25k next week as well. So he's going to make us, what's that, you know, he's going to be pushing towards, you know, 130k over the next 3 weeks or so. So if, again, if you haven't got him, I do think, you know, it's not too late to jump on him, but, you know, with someone that's going to be jumping up in price that much, sure, you've missed out the 70.2K, but I do think, considering what he's outputting, and also the fact that Stephen May is going to be out for an extended period due to breaking three ribs, and I think he had a cracked vertebrae as well, so pretty bad injury for Stephen May. So that really does solidify the job security of Blake Howes, which it kind of already is anyway. So I prioritise him. Zach Williams obviously was on the bye, but he will come in this week for me. And speaking to that as well, Zach Reed, so he obviously was injured and I opted not to trade him out. So the reason for that was I was looking, and it was probably a good thing because I was waiting back to see who was sort of waiting for the cream to rise to the top, as it were. So I was looking at Caulfield and I was looking at Toby Pink and also Marty Hoare. So obviously in doing that, and Caulfield was kind of top of my list just because I think in what he's shown in the past, there's potential there for him to be able to score well and make some nice cash. Obviously, it helped because Caulfield got injured. If I went early on Caulfield, it would have obviously hurt me going from an injured player into an injured player in Caulfield. And I think off the back of that, you know, Toby Pink, he scored well enough, 58 or thereabouts. Is still a viable cash cow, but it's going to be a very, very slow burn. And I do think that there are the rookies sort of on the horizon that could potentially make their debut in weeks to come, which, you know, by that stage, hopefully Reed makes his return, which he is slated to return in anywhere between round 6 to 8 off the back of that hamstring. And what I'm going to be doing now, and I'll just sort of highlight this now before I forget, but I'm going to be keeping Zach Reed. That's sort of the long and short of it. And what I'm going to be doing is, because in round three, Carlton play a Good Friday, what I'm going to be doing is putting Zach Reed on field and having Williams as my emergency. Obviously, with Williams playing first up, if he scores well, I'll leave Reed on field. It means I loop on his score. If Williams scores shit, it means get two bites of the cherry. I can sub off Reed for Howes and Bob's your uncle. Or your auntie, whatever way you want to look at it. But that's kind of my thinking behind that. I know it's best 18, but obviously doesn't include those guys we have on the bench. So if Williams pops off and he's stuck on the bench, I'm kind of done for. I'm kind of done for if I don't have that loophole in Zach Reed. So, you know, if I was to do the converse side of things and lock in Williams into my field, if he scores a shit one, I'm done for, and I won't be able to loop on Howes' score if he pops off and has a 90-odd score. So kind of just having two bites of the cherry, and that's kind of the thinking behind that. Jumping into my midfield ever so quickly, Bont 136. He was my vice captaincy backup if I wasn't going to go for Dacos. So I was kind of kicking myself, but I had supreme confidence in the Hulk, as I'm going to label him from now on, the Green Machine himself. 137, scored one extra point on top of Bont, so it's an extra point. So Green was my captain. So happy with that. And even though he's got his bye, I think he's a must-have. He's an absolute gun. And yeah, coming off his bye, I'd be prioritizing trying to get this bloke in because he is next... he's next level, and you know, he's got the contested side of his game that is so conducive to Supercoach, more so than anything, even more than fantasy, where he gets these extra points here and there. He's just incredible. So try and, I guess, put him in your sights coming out of his bye. Of course, Tookie Miller at 115 did pretty well, and his start to the season has been, absolutely stellar. 116... 137 and a 115. So he's went up 27.1K on the weekend as well, having played three games now. And yeah, at 23.7 or running up to 24% ownership, I think that should be rising. And yeah, if you haven't got him coming off his buy, I'd again be prioritizing him because I still think he is value, even though he's gone up a bit in price. But yeah, I just see him as a, again, he's reclaiming those CBAs, reclaiming the form that he had in previous years where he was the definitive, you know, top eight averaging midfielder. So he is someone that I'm absolutely happy that I started. Someone that I'm kind of on the fence about starting is Nick Martin. So even though he busted out at 93, have a look at his stats. He ended up having 31 disposals, 4 marks, 2 tackles, 1 free kick, 4. With those stats in isolation, you think, okay, probably pushing 100, 105. Only 93. He had about 5 turnovers from memory again. But by and large, I think the one thing that really holds him back is the fact that a lot of his possessions aren't contested. And I know that comes with the style of the game, playing as a, you know, rebounding defender. But I think it's just you've got to be sublime in your kicking. And, you know, if I'm comparing him to someone like a Wanganeen Miller, for example, who has similar stats... cheaper price point as well, obviously. But similar stats, just to have a look at him. He had 32 disposals, 11 marks. So he had more marks, obviously, but busted at a score of 120. And his disposal is absolutely elite. Having said that, Martin is renowned for his good disposal as well. So a little bit disappointing, but having seen the 2-game sample size thus far, I really do think that he's kind of going to fall between that point of like a 95 to maybe a max 105 average, which for me isn't going to be, you know, a top 6 defender, which is kind of where I would be putting him once he gets the DPP defender midfielder status. So off the back of that, I think it's probably a good time to cut your losses. And for those people that did it last week, totally justified as well. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things, isn't it, that, you know, you could probably hold him. He scored a 93. It's not the end of the world, but with a break even of 123 and a projected loss of 22K, it might be hard to sort of sideways trade or at least upgrade him to someone that could be a genuine top 8 midfielder in this case, in say a Jack Steele, who is around about 30K more expensive or thereabouts from memory. So yeah, that's kind of my thinking around Nick Martin. Yeah, it's pretty much about 30K. So yeah, 40K. So yeah, I'd love to keep him, and it's kind of sliding doors because he fell in the same category for me anyway as Zach Fisher. Both of the guys had the roles, but not 100%. They weren't outputting the scores that I thought they would, and so I had to make the call on either Martin or Fisher. Of course, Fisher came out and scored well. It is what it is, and Martin kind of was thereabouts. I think what did Fisher score? Just out of interest. Was it 101, I think it was. So only 7-point differential there. If you're looking at it in terms of guys that I was weighing up, who to get rid of, sure, I missed out on a score of, you know, an extra 7 points compared to Martin's score, compared to Fisher's. So that's kind of what I'm doing to justify it, because either way, I think one of those guys was going to be out. And in all likelihood, I mean, if I held Fisher, I would obviously hold him as well. But I think for me as well, Fisher isn't someone that I don't think he's going to be a top 6 scoring or averaging forward either. So just sort of trying to project ahead. And that's kind of what you need to do in Supercoach. Just roll with the punches and assess and make predictions, all that sort of stuff, just to try and get ahead of the rest of the competition. Sure, if people keep him, he may come and, you know, smash out a 105 average from here on out. And if he does, it is what it is. But I think with what is on offer and what I can potentially get in return for Nick Martin in a trade is going to potentially net me some extra points and potentially some extra cash to allow a better stepping stone, or at least maybe even going to a genuine top eight scoring midfielder that I believe to be potentially a Jack Steele, who I spoke of before. So that's an offer, Nick Martin. But let's move on to James Jordan, 88 he scored. I don't know how he scored that. It was a late flurry again, and he kind of has this in his game because he was hovering around about that 60 mark, really, you know, three-quarter time thereabouts, and then came out with a flurry, kicked that really nice goal, which I think boosted his score ever so slightly, and finished with an 88. So he's had his first three scores in around about the 80 mark, and looked really good by and large. So just keeping in mind that obviously the Swans, they have the buy upcoming in round five, so probably a good time as well, because Supercoach Plus have him sort of maxing out in price around about, round four, heading into round five. So good time to sort of cull him. I think if you want to cull him early, you could potentially, but you might be missing out on around about, you know, extra 50K or thereabouts. So just keep that in mind. And I think with his DPP as a forward mid, does provide a bit of valuable flexibility across the early buy rounds that we're encountering at the moment. Moving on to Matt Roberts, a 94, looked really, really good. This guy I think we can hold on to, even sort of past Sydney's buy in round five, because he's made a 69K, if you don't mind, off the back of his performance on the weekend, obviously his third game. And then he's projected to make us close to 60K this coming round, and then another 40K potentially in round four, heading into Sydney's buy, and then coming out of his buy, making us more cash. And I think they've got him there, projected scores of 60-odd, but averaging 79 at the moment, he should at least be pushing towards 350 at minimum, I think. So he's going to make us around about 200K, so could be one of the better cash cows. So hold on to him. And if you haven't got him, I will say that he's probably, I'm kind of on the fence. It's kind of like ship sail, because 69K that you've missed out on by not starting him is going to hurt. But I mean, as I said, probably will make us another, you know, 100K. So I'm not against jumping on him if you haven't got him. Moving on to Colby McKercher, 95. Again, I just am in utter disbelief for those people that faded McKercher early on. He had the role. That's all we needed to know. And he's projected to make his 57.9K this coming round with a negative 68 break-even. So again, if you haven't got him, I'd be prioritizing McKercher over Roberts. He's got the role. He's got the ability to score just as well as Roberts, if not more. So jump on him if you haven't got him. And it's going to be a very, very nice cash cow for us, but also a very nice playing cash cow with the scores that he's busting out. Rolly Sanders, again, I put on field because I had supreme confidence that Bevo would have looked at himself in the mirror and said, mate, you're a dickhead. Why did you sub Sanders when he was actually projected to have a half-decent game? And he was playing well up until that stage in round one, and it paid off. So he obviously didn't get subbed, and probably helped that Caulfield, unfortunately for him, ended up getting injured and subbed. So ended up finishing with a 99. I think he was around about 105 or thereabouts, hovering around that mark, but scaled down to 99. And he's projected to make us 39.2K just with a projected score of 48. So he will be making us more cash than that. Don't pay too much attention to that. Have a look at what he's averaging at the moment, and it's pretty much going to be double that. So he could potentially make us, you know, maybe 60K or thereabouts in the next round alone. So again, he is a must-have if you don't have him, so jump on him. Moving on to Darcy Wilson for the Saints. Look thereabouts, 59. Plodding along nicely, I think. Negative 51 he goes into the weekend with in terms of his break-even, and is projected to make us a 41.3K appreciation in price. And he's going to be, again, another nice cash cow. So again, a lot of people already have him. I think he's, what, in 69, dinner for two, ding, ding, percent of teams. So he, he's already in, I guess, the coaches with serious teams, the serious coaches with teams in their side. So again, if you don't have him, I recommend to jump on him. But again, there's so many guys that you should be jumping on if you haven't got him, that you almost need to sacrifice some of these guys. So should have been listening to us. That's all I'll say. But Jack Carroll, he's coming off his bye, obviously, for Carlton. Bottom price thereabouts, 123.9K in comparison to the higher-priced rookies, McCurcher and Sanders anyway. And yeah, he has a break-even of negative 69. Again, ding, ding, dinner for two. So yeah, coming off scores of 65 and 74, he faces North Melbourne this Good Friday in round three. So projected to go up 51.4K. And again, I think he's someone that has, you know, shown that he can actually score quite well. If you can average around about, you know, 65 to 70 odd, he's going to make us some nice cash. But even more than that, off the back of, you know, unfortunately, Doherty's ACL has opened up the opportunity for Carroll to go into the engine room, an opportunity that he hasn't had in the past due to especially Paddy Dow when he was in the team of seasons past for Carlton. So he is definitely one to get if you haven't got him. Jai Clark, he was on my bench as well, 123.9. Better output this game. Ended up playing 90 minutes, so an extra 16 minutes compared to round one. So thank you, Mr. Scott. And yeah, scored well. A negative three heads into the weekend with in terms of his break-even, and has a projected price change of 11.4K with a projected score of 22. So should be scoring more than that, you'd think. Let me just quickly have a look at his CBAs as well out of interest at DFS Australia. And as you can see here, his CBAs actually doubled compared to round one when he had 35% CBAs and went up to 71% CBAs in round two. So a really good sign, and it really came off the back of Brun not being in the team and also Tom Atkins. So it did. He was very fortuitous in that sense. But I do think there is opportunity there for him to grow. Looked really good by and large. Just to have a quick look at his disposal efficiency as well, which was, a big hurdle for him in round one. Disposal efficiency was up to a very, very nice 77% compared to 31% in round one. So I wouldn't be worried about Jai Clark. Don't even think about trading him out. I think it's a waste of a sideways trade if you're looking to trade him to someone like a Sharp or a Carroll or any of these guys. And I do think he will have a very, very nice role in terms of job security for Geelong, even though it is a team, of course, coached by Chris Scott. But let's move on to the rucks quickly. Maxi Gawn, 113, thereabouts, not too bad. Good enough anyway. He went up in price, obviously, having played the third game for him. And he went up 7.6K, so not much. So if you don't have him, I would still recommend jumping on him. I think he is a better option compared to Grundy at the moment. You know, obviously there's been a little bit of a roller coaster for Gawn. He scored 72, 162, and a 113. And faces Port Adelaide this weekend, who, you know, is virtually Ivan Soldo, who did, by and large, actually struggle a bit against Nankervis on the weekend. So he might actually have a nice day out. He's projected to go up 23.4K this coming weekend. Moving on to Brody Grundy, and he had a slowish start, but actually ended up working his way into the games. Finished with a 99 and ended up going up in cash 16.5K. I don't think it's danger signs here with Grundy either. Looked really good. There was a really nice moment late in the game that still he was still trying, even though he was absolutely cooked. Had a nice sort of dishing out over handball in a contested situation on the ground, and afforded Sydney a goal and him a goal assist. So happy enough with Grundy. Scored a nice.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Moving on to the forwards, and this is where it gets juicy. These two guys here, Luke Jackson and Isaac Heaney. Luke Jackson, first and foremost, could have had the perfect game and probably couldn't have been any more perfect than what it was. 178, if you don't mind. And that was comprised of 24 disposals, 3 marks, 5 tackles, 1 free four, 3 frees against, 21 hitouts, and 2 goals. The big part of Jackson's game that he has is he's so versatile. He's able to run up forward at various stages and stretch his opponent and take those easy marks and kick those nice goals. So that really has inflated his game. And he's projected to make this coming weekend 50.2K with a break-even of 19. And then the week after, 31.2K with a break-even of 32. So even if Darcy comes back, surely Freo look at what he's producing and be like, okay, we're going to just play Darcy more at forward. Afford Jackson, like flip it on its head. And instead of giving Jackson the, 30%, 25% ruck time, give that to Hodor, give that to Sean Darcy, and give the majority of ruck time to Jackson, because he's absolutely smashing it. And, Freo, I think, obviously they turned around their game and they won the game against North after trailing for a fair chunk of it. He is part of the reason why. He is the catalyst for Freo. So absolutely incredible. I just want to have a quick look at his game ever so quickly through DFS Australia, because I think it was incredible. Like, his disposal efficiency was off the charts as well. So where are we? Yeah, 96% disposal efficiency. Incredible. But if you have a look at his games as well, it's not out of the realms of, like, it's not an outlier. Like, he's had 78%, 87, 91, 84, 67. Like, he's actually really, really, in recent times, going back, his last 6 games now, extending back to round 21 last year, he's in a really, really rich vein of form. Like, over this time, he scored 173, 124, 123, 101, 113, and a 178 for an average of 135.3. So what he's producing at the moment is virtually just an extension upon what he was producing in the back half of 2023, or the back part of 2023. So without Darcy there, he is reaching new heights, and I am firmly on board. Moving on to another guy who I'm firm for, it is Isaac Heaney, and he went up 61.6K, and I guess the risk for me in starting a guy that has been a perennial burn man for me has paid off. So he's now priced at 545.3K, and he scored in his first 3 games at 144, 136, and a 128, which was on the weekend. Again, arguably best on ground, incredible performance, and just doesn't show any signs of stopping, knock on wood, of course. But a projected score of 120 this coming weekend, we'll see him go up 34.5K with a break-even of 45. And then into round 4, when he faces West Coast, heading into his bye, we'll go up 24.2K projected. And then coming out of his bye, faces Gold Coast. So he, in terms of the fixture, it's opening up for Sydney. Richmond are struggling now, even though it is at the MCG this weekend. The sky's the limit, really, for Heaney, much like it is Luke Jackson. So he's in the midfield. He's killing it. He's in the best form we've ever seen. And he's kicking goals as a midfielder as well, which is absolutely incredible. And it really just a nice cherry on top as well. So if you don't have Heaney, I think the horse may have bolted. Likewise with Luke Jackson, you're going to have to almost downgrade a failed primo. You could potentially, if you have any swings, swap a Hayden Young to Isaac Heaney if you're able to swing DPPs. I don't know how you do it, but if you're able to potentially trade a forward to a defender and then swing Hayden Young into your forward line, that's probably one way I'd do it. That's something to think about. But it's making me giddy. both of these guys. They're making me giddy, and I'm all about it. Moving on to Jack Billings. He was one of my trade-ins heading into round two and went up 28K, having obviously played his third game. That 119 that he scored in round one will stick around in his price cycle for one more week, hence the reason why Supercoach Plus have him going up 44.1K with a negative break-even of negative 34. And that's a projected price of 62. So it's around about probably, you know, the middle ground of what he could be producing, discounting, of course, that sub-score or sub-affected score that he had in round zero. So I think he should make us round about that cash, I think, this coming round, and we'll push towards a 300-310K mark coming out of this coming weekend. Rounding us out, the bottom line of the forward line, and Harley Reid, 63, was really nice. Frustrating, though, I must say, because he actually looked really good. There were various stages late in the game where I think it was heading into three-quarter time. He finished on the bench, started the fourth quarter. He started on the bench. Then there was a stage where he was thrown into the middle. The ball was on the other side of the ground, so it was sort of hard to get him on. He ended up getting into the game for like 2 minutes max, had a couple of possessions, looked really good, and then Simo waves him off. Mate, he's been on the bench for like 15, 20 minutes. Like, what are you doing? And I know there's the whole train of thought of trying to give Harley Reid a bit of a, you know, a bit of a breather at various stages, because there have been some scares about his rolling ankles, all that sort of stuff at training. But let the bloke get a taste of game time. So frustrating as an owner, but it is what it is. Everyone owns him. And hopefully, off the back of that, it does mean that he does increase those minutes. Ended up having 17 disposals as well, one mark, four tackles, two frees for, and one free against, which should have been a push in the back more than anything, rather than holding the ball. We have, moving on to Aaron Cadman, and he is someone that I earmarked to start on field. Just pay dividends. And again, goes back to the point, is trying to work out little kinks, I guess, in the game, little edges that you can get, hence Supercoach Edge. Considering that the fixture opened up nicely over the past couple of weeks for the Giants, playing North Melbourne and West Coast, I think it was a no-brainer to play Cadman. Ended up kicking three goals, one of which was late in the game, just to sort of pad his stats nicely. But ended up, scoring a 90, three goals, five hitouts as well. Really, the good part of this is that he's getting these bonus points as well by being thrown into the ruck as a relief ruckman. So do like that. And that's probably part of the reason why I'm going to try and hold on to Cadman for as long as I can. He is someone that really did pay dividends in the rookie roulette game in just reading the signs and playing to the fixture in me fielding Cadman outright. And then we finish off with Sexton, who only scored a 47, unfortunately, but is what it is. I was expecting him to score a little bit better. There was the part of the game where he actually was thrown forward by Dimmer, just because they needed another focal point or another scoring avenue. It just didn't really work well. I think he was thrown back again late in the game, but by that stage, game was over and really wasn't any points up for grabs. So 47 is what it is, but on the bye now, along with Cadman, obviously, with Gold Coast and the Giants having their collective bye in round three, it does sort of throw into, I guess, consideration whether or not you trade him or you hold him. And my main worry is about that sort of instability with his role now. Having seen on the weekend, he is that guy that could be thrown forward at any stage, similar to like a Himmelberg of previous seasons. So something to keep in mind, I think, and we'll speak to as we continue on. Caleb Windsor on the bench, scored a 40. Went up in price, that's the main thing, which was the tune of 31.2K, projected to go up 18.9K this coming round with a break-even of 8. And round us out, Tom Berry, who was my trade-in, didn't work. Much like people who traded to Jesse Hogan for a bit of a quick price rise, wasn't to be, didn't work out. And I thought this was kind of going to be the case anyway, considering the history or scoring history of Tom Berry. Isn't the best, has shown flashes, but I thought at the very least he might be able to score around about 50-odd. So disappointing in that respect. And most disappointing was the fact that he didn't have any tackles. And that was a part of his game that I identified as maybe providing a bit of a stable floor and that might push him up to the 50 score mark. Wasn't to be, didn't happen, but still went up 44.7K. So not the end of the world, and we will keep him on our bench at this stage anyway. But without further ado, let's have a look at our trades and what we're thinking of doing. So we'll say from the outset, Hayden Young, even though he was sort of the one guy that I was the most bullish on across the preseason, I do think he will be able to turn it around. The one part that I don't like is his break-even is a 165 break-even heading into this round with a projected loss of 40.2K. And that's if he scores a 78, which is kind of round about what he's scoring at the moment. So again, I don't think he's going to lose that sort of money, but who knows? I mean, the main thing is he's got the role. That's the thing. And it's just, he's turning over the ball like crazy. And it's just, it's not boding well at all for, you know, super coach output, really. So I'll just have a quick squeeze just on DFS Australia. Just have a quick look at his scoring. So he's disposal efficiency in round one with 67, then was 76 on the weekend. So not too bad on the weekend. 72% CBAs. That's the big thing that says to me that he's going to turn this around. In round one, he had 59% CBAs. 72% probably came off the back of five being subbed, which, mind you, is something that if you check us out on Twitter, we earmarked was going to happen and did happen. The one thing is if Fife, because he did report as well, some back tightness, if Fife is rested more or is potentially out of the team, it may be conducive to Young having a bit more chance of scoring and more slices of the pie to go around in the engine room for Frio. So I'm still bullish on him, but I think, you know, even if I do need to bite the bullet and bring him back in late in the season, I think considering he's going to go down potentially that much in price at 40.2K, it's just not going to really work for this time of the year where you're trying to upgrade your team and you can't afford to have guys dropping in price that may not work out that you want to move on. And then you find, oh, wait, he's lost 40K. And that's, you know, might be the difference between you going for a genuine primo if you wanted to swap things around. So I'm going to bite the bullet and Hayden Young will be one that is in the gun, unfortunately. So apologies, Hayden Young. But the other guys that I'm thinking of moving on, Nick Martin. So again, I spoke about him already. There is reason enough to keep hold of him. He could turn it around, but I think with what potentially we have on offer, it's just too good to be true. If it works, I don't know if it will at this stage in terms of price point and dollary dues that we have to spread out. But we'll round it out with Tom Berry. So obviously he's only made us, you know, 44K or thereabouts. It is what it is. I've seen so many people as well biting the bullet that went for that risk on bringing in Jesse Hogan to try and ride his price rise. It didn't work out. And, you know, if he did actually score quite well, I would have easily held Berry across the buy and gone into this round with a team of 21 players. Obviously, only need top 18 because I've got quite a few Giants and Gold Coast players. But I think with the opportunity that we have and the guy that I'm looking at, that is kind of the main focal point of my trade-ins for this week. It's kind of a no-brainer for me. So let's have a quick look at break-evens. And we'll scroll down here. So one guy that I was looking at is Oliver Dempsey. Negative 71. Should make bulk coin. So if you're looking for a rookie, I do like him. Could go up potentially 120, 130K. So I do like him. Obviously doesn't have the buy either, which is good. But keep in mind that 96 will fall out of his price cycle after this weekend, unless he scores well again. Outside of that, I mean, there's Jeremy Sharp in the midfield, but again, negative 63, yes, could be a nice cash cow. But I think, you know, there's another guy here that's at a higher price point that could, I don't know if he's going to be a keeper, but I do think he's going to be a very, very nice playing cash cow, which if you find a playing cash cow of this quality, and his name is Tom Powell from North Melbourne, they're very, very hard to pass up. And we're talking in terms of like James Jordan, you know, Matt Roberts, McKercher Sanders, all these guys, just because we don't have the price point or the money in the bank to, you know, bring in these genuine primos as yet, we need to rely on these cash cows to score well enough for us. And, you know, we're talking in terms of Sexton. His role just really isn't there potentially after the weekend. Cadman scored well, but again, he's going to be a roller coaster from week to week as a, you know, naturally as a key position player. Reed is still being eased into the game, so on and so forth. So I think to have Tom Powell in our team is going to be something that is going to really help us in terms of accruing points from week to week, but also being able to use him as a cash cow and a stepping stone to a genuine keeper in the mold of, say, a Flanders down the line. So Tom Powell, just looking at him ever so closer. As I said, negative 47 is the break-even that he goes into the weekend with. And if he scores the projected score of Supercoach Plus of 80, he is projected to go up 58.4K, and then the week after, 34K. So that's, you know, what, 90K, 92K or thereabouts. So that is going to be super, super handy. And yeah, as I said, as if you can max out at 100K, and be a nice little stepping stone, and not trading him down, but trading him up to a primo, that is going to be very, very valuable. Let me just have a quick look at the breakdown in stats a little closer for those of you not familiar with Tom Powell. The big thing with him is he's getting CBAs. That's the one thing he wasn't getting, or getting sparingly, last year. And that's sort of conducive to his scoring. So in round one, 76% CBAs. Round two, 93% CBAs, which is among the highest you'll see across any team. 28 disposals, 86% disposal efficiency, which again is par for the course with him. Really nice disposal of the ball, 4 marks, 5 tackles, and 2 goals as well, which boosted his game. But the main thing, and for a 129 score, but the main thing here is that he is getting those CBAs. Lazaro was someone that we all identified as potentially someone that could step into, you know, this role and get bulk CBAs and really be producing the scores that Powell is. But Powell looks to be that guy. Lazaro obviously got subbed, and he's someone to potentially look to move on if you still got him, which I did in round one. But yeah, he is someone that really, I do think, could be a nice stepping stone. So for me, he comes into my team. So let's do that right now. So seen enough in his game, Tom Powell comes in. And again, even though I only got 44K off the back of Tom Berry, in isolation, sure, wasn't the best, but it's actually helped me get in Tom Powell. So I'm going to thank Tom Berry for his services and bid him farewell as he rides off into the distance. In defense, there is someone that I'm looking at. And it is someone here, if I just filter by average, Luke Ryan is obviously someone that I'd love to get him, but he's just too expensive. He's an extra, what, 85K. So yeah, it's just money that I don't have, or at least I don't want to be, you know, putting down into one position as yet. I do see the reasoning for it. And if you want to go down that route, 100% go for it. But I'm still a little bit worried with Frio's back line being decimated and it potentially, you know, switching Luke Ryan's role at any stage. He is taking bulk kickings though, which is really good, and I do like the look of, but for me, I'm going to be going for a little bit of value here. And it does exist in the form of, could be a Dan Houston. I'm a big fan of him, but below him, in the 11th highest averaging defender, Nasiah Wanganeen-Millara. And I watched that game against the Pies, and he looked absolutely fantastic. He is going to be one of the silkiest players going around, like absolutely incredible. And yeah, it's just that role, and I can really see him potentially stepping into that role that the flying mullet has had in Sinclair in the past couple of years. Because Sinclair, and we'll have a look very, very quickly, but the one thing is as well that Wanganeen-Millara only had one kick in as well. So he's not having to rely on kick-ins to score well. Round one, he scored 101. Round two, the 120 against the Pies. And that comprised of 32 disposals, 81% disposal efficiency, and 11 marks. So they were going through him at any opportunity, every opportunity they could. But the one good thing about Wanganeen-Millara is if you have a look at his kick-to-handball ratio, and it's more than four times the amount of kicks that he's getting compared to handballs. So again, love that. Don't worry about handballing it. Don't be a bloody Kevin Bartlett. Be like a Kevin Bartlett and just kick at every opportunity. So a really, really good super coach game. And I'm a massive, massive fan of him. And I do think he was someone that I identified sort of on the cusp of around about a top six scoring defender. And I do think from what I've seen here, even with Sinclair back in the team, that's kind of what I wanted to see, how these guys played with each other. And I am confident in Wanganeen-Millara being a potential top six defender. So at this price point, I see him as extreme value. So he is in my team at this stage. Running us out in the midfield, and it's a little bit harder as well because it could be someone that's, you know, I would ideally love to get in terms of, let me just switch to the midfielders, Jack Steele. So I don't unfortunately have the cash for him. I fall short, agonizingly short, $5,900 short of getting Jack Steele in my team. He would be, and these three trades would be absolutely the optimal scenario for me. But because I can't afford Jack Steele, and just having a look quickly at Steele's projections going forward, he's projected to go up 19.3K with a score of 103 this coming weekend against the Dons. Hopefully he doesn't go up that much, and I can try and get him in at a later stage. But considering this, I'm thinking to myself, well, what's the way to try and get Steele in, or potentially even, you know, use someone as a stepping stone to get in the likes of a Zach Butters down the line, or even a Flanders, who I am super, super keen on. And I mean, there's Flanders. I would potentially try and go for him if I could, but again, wouldn't have the cash. Jack Steele, as I said, don't have the cash for him. Scrolling down the list, LDU is too expensive. I do like him though. Errol Goulden, he didn't drop too much. Actually, he's with the 149 that he scored in the weekend. Only went down 8K. Too expensive, 614K. Holmes, I was weighing up as a potential starter. Elliot Yeo is one, but again, I don't want to run the risk of him, even though he could make some nice... not really. He's only projected to go up 28K over the next couple of weeks. Could be more than that, depending on how he scores. But again, injury risk, not a fan. And that is pretty much that. Like, Clayton Oliver is someone that I'm looking at as well. So, Clary scored 82 on the weekend, tagged by McGuinness. Went down 48.1K. And has a break-even of 168, so he's projected to go down another 33K on the weekend if he can score a sub-100 score, or to the tune of 94, you'll go down 33.8K, and then a 12K loss potentially against the Crows. So could be sitting around about that 580K mark, which would be very, very juicy to try and get him in first up. So just looking at the other guys that I'm looking at that we have an offer here down the list, they don't tickle my fancy. And I think the one guy that I was weighing up starting alongside or potentially in place of Nick Martin, it was Matt Crouch, Carl Amon, and Holmesy from the Cats. Amon not scoring as well as what I thought he would. Likewise, Holmesy. So I think Matt Crouch is someone that I am eyeing off as a pretty much, I don't think he's going to be a keeper, but he could be a nice stepping stone to one of the Uber primos. So aiming high here. And the main reason for this is he's obviously got a break even of 36. Projected to go up 35K on the weekend with a score of 112. And then over the next couple of weeks beyond that, projected to go up 27K. So we'll go up 60K over 3 weeks. Doesn't have the bye, obviously, so that is very, very handy. Scored 114 and a 128 in his first two games. But the one thing for me, so his starting price is 490. If we look back to his, I guess, you know, last full season that he had, 2020, he averaged a 110. And there's evidence here in this season where he actually dropped down, or his sort of lowest price point was 510. And then he went on a run of games where he scored 132, 133, 162, 148, 96, and a 105. And ended up finishing with a price point of 621 compared to the 510. So that's a 111K price rise. Could we potentially ride Matt Crouch for a 100K price rise? Maybe. I mean, as I said, we over the next 3 weeks, he's projected to go up 60K. So it's close enough. And around, we'll take him to around about that 550K mark. Hopefully he can continue beyond that and, you know, get an odd score of a 128 like he did on the weekend to really push his break even down and push his price upwards. So off the back of that, I think that's kind of my thinking. I've gone through a few scenarios as well, potentially instead of going for Crouch, go for another rookie in Sharp or Dempsey, which is still on the cards. But at this stage, I'll stick with this. This is what we're dealing with. We'll go complete trades and we'll confirm that. So that's how my team looks at the moment. The other option that I was thinking of is obviously going early on a few guys in terms of trading them out, like a James Jordan or a Windsor maybe. I think these guys still have money to make and it's kind of shooting myself in the foot. So Again, I'm trying to go for guys that are going to make us cash, but also score well enough for us on field. So went through the defense already in terms of going into round three tactics there. Tom Green's obviously on the bye. And what we can do here is, so we've got two guys on the bye in Miller and Green. What we can do is work these guys to our advantage and try and, I guess, use some loopholes here off the bench. So in terms of those guys on the bench, we have Wilson, Carroll, and Clark. So Carroll plays first up for Carlton on Friday. Then it is Wilson for St Kilda against the Dons on Saturday, Arvo into the evening. And then the last game of the round is Clark for the Cats up against the Hawks. So at this stage, I think it's a bit of a no-brainer given Carroll plays first up. What we will be doing is putting the emergency on Carroll. And then if Carroll scores well, we will bring him on and then kind of work out, okay, well, who do we bench? I think Wilson I'm most confident on. And it probably comes down to Carroll and Clark. I do think that in terms of scoring, I think it'll be Wilson, Carroll and Clark. But again, this gives us a little bit of flexibility. So again, if Carroll scores well, we'll just leave things as is. Otherwise, we put Clark on field instead of Miller. And then in the forward line, so we do have as well Powell. He comes into the team straight away. And the other thing we can do is as well is that because we've got Wilson and Windsor, both DPP midfielder forwards, we can potentially switch them up. So when does Melbourne play? Oh, they play the game after St Kilda. So we're kind of going to have to take a punt on either Wilson or Windsor to cover for Cadman in the forward line. So I do think I've got more confidence in Wilson. So I might switch Wilson to the forward line. Wilson will cover for Cadman. And that'll be that. In terms of captains, I think Bont is probably the outright. When does he play? The third last game against West Coast. So he's probably the outright captain. For VCs, who's going to be? Probably Dacos, I think. Yeah, first game of the round. I'll look into it a little bit further. But yeah, I think Dacos and Collingwood overall have to turn it around. Tough ask for them to beat the Lions at the Gabba. Carlton did it though. Follow us what we did. But yeah, we'll work that out in due course. But I think Bont, Le Bont, is the big C man here. Outside of that, I think what we could be doing is potentially going Bont VC into a Heaney captain. So that's the other option as well. I might consider that if I don't go for Dacos first up. But that's pretty much it, ladies and gents, for our team talk for round two, heading into round three. And we'll finish things off by saying, for those of you who tune into our podcast, our audio podcast, if you can give us a rating on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts, that'd be absolutely fantastic. We're at 29 ratings here, so thank you to every single one of those 29 people that have given us a rating. If you can give us a 5 stars, it'd be fantastic. Just we'll give you a kiss on both cheeks, on your face, mind you, not the other cheeks. If you could do that, it'd be absolutely fantastic. But if you are tuning in to our YouTube, as I said, if you're new to our channel and you've loved what we've produced thus far, give us a like, give us a sub. And if you fall into these nearly 71% of people that are tuning in but aren't subscribed, give us a sub. That'd be absolutely fantastic. And again, we'll give you a kiss on both cheeks. So you can have that ironclad guarantee. But that's it, ladies and gents. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next one. Cheers.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.